1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 9. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, which is in the southern, very southern part of Greece. And he is writing from Ephesus, which is a city in Turkey. And this is what he says to the brothers and sisters in Corinth, Greece. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you. I thought that would be a great sermon text, right? For I do not want to see you now, just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for, and here is my sermon text, a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit, of whom we, by the way, just sang? I speak so much German, I can't get the English right anymore, in this hymn, and we appreciated very much that we all sang this line in the third verse, show your power once again on earth. That's what you ask the Holy Spirit to do. I'm going to ask him to do that through this sermon, and then you will perhaps understand a bit more about the Holy Spirit when I tell you what he's doing in Germany right now. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it isn't just simply letters on a page. We thank you that it is in fact words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit so that they would come as the word of God onto a page and come as the word of God to each and every one of us from the page into our hearts. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would now shine a light from this text into our hearts, that you will change us, that you will make us new, and that we will go from here today having heard your word and being changed and different than we were when we came here. In Jesus' name, amen. So my wife and I have dual citizenship. We're Americans and Canadians, and our home away from Frankfurt, Germany, is Toronto, Canada, where three of our four daughters live and our eight grandchildren. So we make our way to Canada every year to see the family. A few years ago, when we were driving up into the northern part of Canada, I was wearing one of my favorite T-shirts that day, just because it felt good to wear it. I had no plans, no agenda with this T-shirt, but it's a T-shirt that was given to me by Campus Crusade years ago when I gave a lecture at the University of Toronto, and the T-shirt, my honorarium for speaking, says on the front, "We are here to change the world." So I walked into Starbucks on this day with my T-shirt on, and a young lady's behind the counter, and I tell her that I want a medium coffee double-double, and she looks at me and she says, "Sir, how are you going to change the world?" And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity. I'm so glad I wore this shirt. And I said, "I'm going to change the world in that I'm going to let people like you know that because Jesus didn't only die on the cross to forgive us of our sins, but also rose from the dead, that he really is Lord of Lords. And that changes everything for life." And then I thought, And I said to her, "So how are you going to change the world?" And she said, "I'm going to change the world by serving coffee to people like you who are going to change the world." Now keep that in mind as we focus on this phrase that the Apostle Paul uses here in verse 9, where he says the reason why he can't come now to Corinth It's because he needs to stay in Ephesus, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. A wide door for effective work has opened to me. Basically, what I would like to share with you today is that if you personally, as well as a local church, will keep in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing and wants to do, you will find many open doors that will, in fact, allow you and cause you to move into situations where you will experience the most surprising works of God in your own midst. Look for the wide open doors that the Holy Spirit is creating. What I want to do is I want to, first of all, from our text, share with us what was Paul's wide open door for effective ministry that he is referring to here. Then what is our wide open door in Germany for effective ministry? And then thirdly, what is your wide open door for effective ministry? Very simple. First of all, Paul's wide open door. He is telling us in verse 8 that he's in Ephesus. And if we want to know exactly what is going on in Ephesus, that he would refer to it as an effective work that has opened to me, we need to go to Acts chapter 19. Let me just tell you briefly what Acts 19 tells us happened with Paul. A lot. He goes to Ephesus. He meets 12 guys, at least approximately 12 guys. He asks them, "Have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" They say, "We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is." So Paul explains to them the Holy Spirit. They believe in the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Paul baptizes them. They start speaking in tongues. Okay. Now it gets crazier, because now he goes from that situation into the synagogue, and he starts preaching in the synagogue about Jesus from the Old Testament. And a lot of Jews in the synagogue were converted to Jesus. Now, you wouldn't expect that, but there was such power upon Paul that he had this effective work that he then refers to here in verse 9. He goes from that to a school, the school of Tyrannus. Now, the school of Tyrannus was very popular in that day, and it was known for all kinds of weird philosophical teachings, New Age kind of stuff. Anyway, he goes there. He's invited to come there and give a lecture. And his lectures on Jesus from the Old Testament and what that means for knowing God are so profound and so effective that tons of people, through his week-by-week lectures in the school of Tyrannus, come to faith in Jesus. And Paul's name, as a theologian and as a guy who can explain God to others, becomes very popular. And now it really gets crazy, because now Acts 19 says this. I'm not making this up. Acts 19 says that Paul became so popular that people would bring their handkerchiefs and their aprons and lay them on Paul and then take them to the hospitals, lay them on the sick, and the sick were healed. I'm not making this up. This is not a televangelist standing in front of you ready to say, "Lay your hand on the television set after you give me $200 and you will be healed." This is Acts 19 telling you what exactly Paul is referring to when he says, a wide open door for effective work has opened to me. Now, just to make sure that we're on the same page, ladies and gentlemen, he uses the word work again in verse 10, where he says, "When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am." So this is not a work that's weird. This is not a work he's referring to in verse 9 that is maybe influenced by some demonic activity. This is God. This is the work of the Lord. Who would have expected it? I wouldn't have. and I don't think you would have either, that God the Holy Spirit would want to work in a place that was into such mystical religions. The occult was very, very strong. I didn't even tell you about what Acts 19 tells us about all of the hundreds and hundreds of people who were into the occult, who ended up converting to Jesus and having a massive book burning ceremony where they burned all their books about witchcraft and so forth. And this was the work of the Holy Spirit in Ephesus, a very unusual work. Paul says, a wide door for effective work has opened to me. You see, when you get an eye for where is the Holy Spirit working, and you follow him, believing that he will do in his power what he chooses to do, we're simply called to be followers. You will expect the unexpected. You will experience surprising works of God. And that brings me to this second point I want to make, our wide open door, Susan and my wide open door that we have experienced in Germany. We moved there in 2005, although I grew up there, so for me it was a little bit like going home. My parents were missionaries in Germany, and we went there in 2005 because I had, as Bill said earlier, been invited to be professor of practical theology at the largest evangelical seminary in Germany, one of the very few evangelical seminaries in Germany. And I went there not only to teach church planting as a new course at the seminary, I went there with the idea that I would also, and Susan too, together with students, plant churches while they're at the seminary so they would get some experience while they're studying church planting in theory. So out of this came a calling in 2010, a calling from the Lord to Susan and me that we needed to plant one more church before we die. And this church needed to be the dream church, the church that I'd been teaching about in classes, the church that I believe in to this very day. I don't care what country we're ministering in. I believe this is the New Testament church. And that is a church, what originally I called a 50-50 model. You see, back in the 1930s, Hitler and the Nazi regime put huge pressure on the Church of Germany to be what Hitler called the German Church for German Christians, for Aryans only. So it would be a pure church. So anybody who was not German was thrown out. If you were Jewish, if you were from any other country in Europe, if you were not white, whatever, you were thrown out of church because it was to be a church, a German church for German Christians. In the midst of that, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whom some of you know about, wrote in his prison cell a year before he was hung, if the church of Jesus is, if the church is really the church of Jesus, it will be a church for others. And by that he meant exactly the opposite of what Hitler meant. He meant that people of all color, people of all walks of life, people of all kinds of backgrounds, people of all cultures would be welcomed and gathered into one local church. Because that's what Jesus does. Because that's what Jesus prayed for in John 17. That they may be one. That the world would be gathered. That people from all four corners of the earth, people of every tongue, tribe, and nation, would be gathered in one local community as a sign to the world that our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the only one able to bring peace between nations and between different nationalities, and that in Jesus and the cross of Christ, people who hate each other in the world begin to love and respect each other and see in each other the image of God with which everyone was created. That was the vision of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I had been teaching in class that Germany has yet to realize his vision, that actually we still are a church according to Adolf Hitler. Now, that didn't go over very well, that we still are a German church for German Christians. We're white, and we do things only with Germans in mind. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is becoming vastly multicultural. So, out of all of this, we created what we call the 50-50 model, that every local church should be 50% Germans, 50% everybody that Germans don't like. Like the Turks, the Greeks, the Serbs. And so, because it was really a call of God, 24 of the seminary students caught this vision, and in 2011, we started a church in Frankfurt, Germany, with the 50-50 model. And we struggled. We really struggled to get this church off the ground. How do you plant a church that's 40 miles away from where you live? That was our situation, but we were absolutely convinced God was calling us to plant a church in Frankfurt that was a 50-50 model. And in the fall of 2012, we finally realized why. When the first Afghan walked in to our little church community meeting in a basement at that time, he had just converted to Jesus. And this ex-Muslim realized what our vision was, what the second 50 stood for. And out of that, he started to invite Sunday after Sunday Muslim Afghans, refugees, into our church community. We very quickly started to translate. We found somebody who could translate into Farsi, from the German into Farsi, so that we started having Muslims sitting with headphones in the worship service and having the entire worship service translated for them into Farsi. Now, I told you about this 3 years ago, that this was happening, and the fact of the matter is it happened and it just continued to happen. Then the Iranians came in, and we realized the reason why God had called us to plant this church was because he also intended to start a refugee wave and bring over 1 million people from the Middle East into Germany, Muslims mainly, so that they could hear the gospel and turn to Jesus. And that's what happened. Many Muslims, even in our little church plant, were converted to Jesus and baptized. And then we started hearing that it was happening all over Germany. And since then, we have been on a crusade, going Saturday after Saturday to different parts of Germany and holding seminars to help churches become 50-50 churches, to open their hearts and their doors and their arms to the immigrants, to the strangers, and to the refugees. Just like we read in the Old Testament reading this morning, that Israel, as the people of God, was to have a heart for the sojourner in their midst. Just like we read in the New Testament reading that the Samaritan whom the Jews hated, when he saw a Jew, he had mercy upon him. And in the same way, God has brought all these refugees to our country so that we, starting with our Prime Minister Merkel, as you might call her, who was trumpeting, this is our moment to show Christian mercy to the refugees, that we might show the mercy of God to them. And when we did, incredible things started to happen, and a wide door for effective work has opened to us. I remember one Muslim guy coming into our worship service when we were still very small and were in the basement of a building, and he came in, and he knew enough German at the time that when this Muslim guy sat down and the German guy beside him greeted him very friendly, the Afghan started to tell him, you know, the reason I'm here is because I had a dream. And I'm so frustrated with Islam. I hate Islam. I don't want this religion anymore. And so I've been searching, who can show me the true God? And in this dream, I was facing one way with a whole bunch of my friends. And suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice. And when I turned around to see who was talking to me and had called me by name, I saw this brilliant light with legs on it. And this light said to me, follow me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as soon as he said that, the German guy beside him said, well, I can tell you who that was. Well, who was it? And he opened up, the German guy, to John 14:6, where it says, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that was it for that Muslim. He was converted on the spot. God had appeared to him like he does to so many Muslims around the world in a dream. And as soon as he found out that that is Jesus, he began to follow him. And so we had Muslims after Muslims after Muslims coming into our church community, and many of them, not all of them, but many of them being saved. And it has transformed the church so that this 50-50 model now is what a lot of pastors and theologians in Germany are starting to refer to as the new normal for church. Until Jesus comes again and calls people from every tongue, tribe, and nation to himself, let the church look like the gathering of people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. I could tell you a lot of stories, but my time is up in about 10 minutes. I'm going to be gracious to myself. And in the Sunday school hour, I'm going to tell you a whole lot more stories, and you're going to hear some incredible stuff, including how a terrorist was converted to Jesus, and under his leadership, this movement is now going from Germany to the Middle East, and we're in the thick of it and involved. You'll hear that story, but let me just quickly tell you about a 35-year-old German woman who had gone to a church of the same denomination that our the mother church. By the way, out of this first church, in the last 6 years, 16 congregations have come. It's multiplied because the students got so excited about what God is doing in this kind of church that they went and planted 15 more congregations in the Frankfurt-Rhein-Main regions, and still a lot of people are coming to faith in Jesus. So this 35-year-old German woman, she had left her church when she was 17. She was fed up with all the rules and regulations and what it meant to be a Christian and so forth, and she wanted to go her own way, and she did. She married a non-Christian guy. She had two kids, and now her husband was starting to be unfaithful to her, and her marriage was in a huge, huge crisis. Suddenly, it popped into her head that this might be the time in her life that she needs God. And so she thought to herself, how can I find God again? I walked away from him a long time ago. The only thing she knew to do was to look in the internet and see where there is a church of that denomination she walked away from that's closest to her, which happened to be our congregation. So she shows up one Sunday in our worship service, and then she shows up the Sunday after that again. And when Susan and I invited her to come over to our place for cake and coffee a few days after her second visit, we sat with her and we asked her, why did you come to our church? And she started to tell her story and how she looked in the internet and found that the church of the denomination she walked away from closest to her is our congregation. And she said, and when I walked in, I saw all these Afghans and Iranians, Muslims, sitting there in your worship service. And I thought to myself, if this church can be open and accepting to people like that, they'll be open and accepting to a rebel like me. And she gave her heart back to Jesus. And she's following him faithfully, even through her divorce and everything nasty that has been happening to her caused by her husband. She is following Jesus. But it was actually seeing all these refugees being loved on and respected by and esteemed by Germans to the point of leading them to faith in Jesus that she felt, this is the church for me. So that's our wide open door, and I'll tell you more about it in Sunday school. I'm looking forward to that very much. Let me come to the third point and tell you what your wide open door is. I don't know. But I do know this, that just as God has opened a wide door for effective work for Paul and for Susan and me in Germany, he is wanting to open up a wide door for effective work for you. So let me at least share with you how I think you can find out what that wide open door for you is. First of all, go into every day with a spiritual consciousness that you are here to change the world. Even if you don't wear the t-shirt, it's true. God called you to himself in salvation because he wants to change the world around you through you. That's the spiritual consciousness with which you go to work, with which you go to school, with which you talk to your neighbors, with which you get ticked off at the person who's driving crazy in front of you or behind you. That's the spiritual consciousness with which you operate. I am here because God wants to change the world around me through me. The second thing you need to do then is have spiritual discernment. Look for the open doors. Look for the opportunities. Look for those moments where you suddenly think to yourself, now here I might be able to say to this person, you know, Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe that, and it has changed my life. Or because Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore is Lord over death and every problem in the world, he can also be Lord over your problem that you're facing right now. And you become discerning of every moment. Is this the time where the door's being opened and God wants me to walk through? And then the third thing you need to do is to trust him. You know, you need to trust him or you're not going to walk through that door. You need to trust him that if you, in fact, walk through that door and somebody's going to sling at you some kind of argument against your faith and you don't know how to respond, God will provide. God will do his work because he doesn't open a door for you in order to shame you. And he doesn't open a door for you in order to make God look bad. He opens a door for you so that as you trust him, that he'll put into your mouth whatever he wants to say, even if it's, I don't know, that God will use that moment in order to impact somebody else's life. So you don't trust your own skills. You don't trust your own knowledge. You trust the Holy Spirit. And you say, yes, I will in this moment walk through that wide open door that God has given me. And that's the fourth thing then. You are obedient. When you are obedient to the Lord will bless. When you are obedient to the Lord will start to do the unexpected. The Lord will start to do through your weakness something that makes him look strong. You may not know in advance what it is, but it's the reason why he loves it when you're weak. Because then he will appear strong instead of you appearing strong. So you obey. And when you obey, you can expect the unexpected. that the Lord might even bring an Afghan Muslim into your life. That the Lord will bring something or someone into your life because he has chosen you to be the wide open door through which the Holy Spirit will do his effective work. So, is it a crisis at work that your co-workers are having? We have an elder in our church in Frankfurt. He works for Opel. Opel got bought out by Peugeot a year ago, and everybody in Opel is in crisis mode. The French have bought us out, okay? That doesn't go over really good. Plus, they do things very differently than Germans who are used to orderliness. So everybody in crisis mode, am I going to keep my job, et cetera, et cetera. This has caused this elder in our church to be able to witness to every single person on his team. He's the team leader at Opel. And he gave me a list of everybody on his team. There were 15 names that he gave me, and where they're at in the spiritual conversations that he's having with everybody as he shares with them, look, I'm in the same boat as you are. I don't know if I'll have a job tomorrow, but God knows, and my life is in God's hands, and if you put your life into God's hands, you can sleep through the night just as well as I do, even though you know that maybe tomorrow you won't have a job. Let God rule your life, because he does things well. That's been his testimony. And so he's used this crisis as an open door for effective work. Maybe that's your possibility. Maybe it's talking to your grandchildren. Maybe you have grandchildren who are now being raised by a daughter or son-in-law who, or daughter or son who are no longer walking with the Lord. And you realize, here's my opportunity. This is my open door to effective ministry to help my grandchild grow up knowing the Lord. Or maybe it's just standing behind the counter and serving coffee to somebody who is here to change the world. Whatever it is, God has a wide door for effective work for every one of us. So open your eyes, open your hearts, and follow him right through the door. And you will experience very unexpected things in the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We think of Jesus, the Messiah, who completed the work he came to do. And he could have completed all of the work forever. But instead, he chose to hand the messianic work unto the ends of the earth into our hands. It overwhelms us. We come to you, Lord, like that father, and we say, Lord, we believe, but please help our unbelief. This is too much. We know we're going to forsake you. We know we're not going to be better than Peter. We know that there will be moments where we're no better than Judas. We know that we make many mistakes. We miss opportunities. Lord, wouldn't you be better off if you just did it yourself? But God, what a privilege to be stewards of the messianic mission to the ends of the earth. What a privilege to know that we're not here in this area of Maryland by mistake or out of luck or just because it happened, but because you put us here. You put every one of us exactly there where you want us to be in order to open a wide door for effective ministry. And so I pray, descend upon each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your power. and fill us with the faith to trust you when we don't know how, even when we don't do well, to trust you that you will use it for your glory. And help us to follow you, to experience the surprising and unexpected works of the Spirit of God. We pray this for the sake of the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.